Hello, everyone. Welcome to whatever day of August this is. Ooh, the 31st, 2016. Sync meeting. Yes. All right. The agenda is in the Pony Dev group. Folks want to go over it. The first thing we have up is we have three RFCs. The first one is RFC with the pull request of 10. That is optional return. And it's ready for a vote.
Number 10. Oh, yeah. I don't like it.
I don't either.
And Carl's put a thumbs down as well.
Anybody here want to advocate for the optional, for having a return, which you can put at the end?
Not me.
I consider it to be perhaps a minor convenience for a level of carrying in the code and change that I don't think is worth it.
I really find I really find Carl's description compelling.
What is Carl's? Oh wait, like the. Is this the one about go fum it or the other one?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm generally against it. It introduces multiple styles.
That's the one.
Okay. Oh wow, and then there's a thing about machine formatting of code, blah blah blah. I don't think blah blah blah. Okay. Did Joe express an opinion at any point? But it's already two, it's three. Okay. We voted and decided not to adopt this RFC. We think any convenience is relatively small. It introduces more than one way to do things, which isn't a reason to reject everything, but it is an issue unless you can show a large win on all the carrying costs of this. Yeah, code to support is something we don't feel is merited by the possible benefits from this change. You heard me just speak everything I just typed. You good with that, Sylvan?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. Okay. Benoit's generic type interface, number 26.
Oh, gosh, yes. I think my comment being I'm hugely in favor of this is pretty much my vote.
I seem to think everybody, is there anybody who wants to argue against it? Although it looks like everybody who is on here, there's a lot of thumbs up.
I don't think Theatus has actually done a thumbs up yet.
Yes, but I don't think there's. Okay, just did just now.
Nice.
As I have the page open and I'm down there. All right.
And Gordon did as well. Oh, that's great.
Oh, 11 sec. I didn't even notice because that didn't pop up like when thing I was doing. I need to. Okay. All right. Okay. I need to clean up all the metadata stuff on that later. Boom. Merged. Oh, the last one. I like this one. This is pull request number 27. Make map upsert return the value for a given key.
I wonder why you like it. Yes. Especially in the light of we are eventually, I suspect, going to have a nice syntax for separating the concept of chaining from having to return this from a method.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just, I've found generally useful. And hey, we already got the code for it. So we got a Joe on it, thumbs up. We got a Sylvan, thumbs up. We got a me. I'm going to abstain for voting on my own RFC. Does Andy, up or down?
Up.
Up. Gordon?
Also, Nicholas also voted up on your original comment.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, all right. Well, we got enough there, even if anybody here wants to... Oh, and Gordon is there with silent thumbs up things. Yeah, active. Okay.
Yeah, dude, it's got one and two. Pretty good.
It's checking the availability to merge this. Okay, merge request. Confirm merge. Yes, delete branch. Okay. All right, boom. We are done with RFCs.
Woo!
Excellent.
We apparently I only put one PR in here because all the others had other things on them. This is a Paralandrix one. Oh, when I link to the files page. Option to lead extension in path.base.
Give me a quick look. So once you align the extension. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yes, lovely. And not only that, but pretty much an oversight for not having that available in the original version.
Okay, let's see. Boom, 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 boom.
He's even got tests.
Nobody cares about tests. Tests are such a fucking waste of time. Who ever was saved by a test? Wow, GitHub, way to be. Dare I push the button again? There we go. Okay, I do. All right, boom, merged. I just had to clean up the doohickey. All right, issues. Issue 1177. This is buffer overflow in package.c function add exec directory.
Oh, really? Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Nice catch.
So, bug. Bug, ready for work. Difficulty, I think that's an easy, don't you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely easy and high priority because it's a buffer overflow. And we should never, ever, ever be on the internet ever putting anything other than high on a thing which is a buffer overflow.
Yes.
Yes. All righty.
He says, happy to adjust this and make it PRable. So how about add a comment that says, thank you very much, and a PR would be extremely welcome.
Van Debugger, is that who said it in there?
Uh-huh.
Boom, awesome. Okay, 1145, built-in code completion. This is more of a discussion one, right? We've had some conversation around this before.
Okay.
And I thought it would be reasonable to talk about something like this again.
You simply have to parse the AST.
You simply have to parse the AST. Yeah, we had previously talked about spitting out stuff that could be used for things like this, as part of the overall doc compilation, process and whatnot.
Right.
Do we still think that's the right way to go forward with that, or what?
I think spitting out stuff is really good. I think some of the things that Nim is doing look interesting. I hadn't seen this before, and I'm happy for the pointer. We want to make sure that any IDE that would be wanting to use this stuff is actually able to use it, right? And I don't know how the Nim features line up with that, but it can be difficult when you have a nice idea for something that can spit out information that could be useful to a hypothetical IDE. It can sometimes be a little bit difficult to turn that into actually useful to an IDE. For example, Visual Studio has a plugin mechanism that is very specific to Visual Studio in terms of how it does things. In general, yeah. It seems like a good thing. And if anybody wanted to work on that, that would be great. I'm afraid I won't have time for that for...
Ever?
Some time forever. To be brutally honest. It's the kind of thing that I would love to see done, though.
So we had talked about backburnering anything like this until the work that Joe was doing was done, right? Yeah. But I mean, we also said that back in April, I think.
Right.
And it's August now, so I think it would be reasonable to say that we open this up to if anybody wants to try and take on a project like this, right?
Sounds good.
We'd ask them to open an RFC so they could get feedback from us, but otherwise to feel free to dig in. Right.
Sounds good. Yeah, absolutely.
And I can tag this as an enhancement. So
is it worth pointing out in the issue that you can already you can get the AST output and you can kind of write your own parser for that if you want to?
Yes, it is.
And just, I thought about building a tool kind of like this as well. And that was kind of, until we get Joe's stuff in, that was kind of the way that I had been thinking about doing it. And so this might at least help Triangle 345 scratch his itch.
Excellent. Good call.
I'll write a comment.
Nice one.
There's a thing that Microsoft is promoting for Visual Studio Code called the Common Language Protocol that might be interesting to look at.
That does sound interesting for a couple of reasons. First is that Visual Studio Code seems, from my brief experience working, trying to use it, significantly better than I expected.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It's really rather darn nice. The other is, I don't know if you guys know this, but I might as well say something now just in case. I actually start work at Microsoft Research on Monday. So doing things that use Microsoft tools suddenly becomes professionally appealing.
Is this a medium or a hard?
I'll put a link to it in the issue there.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up all of that stuff in there where this goes on. It's not trivial, but it's also not like...
Yeah, I would say medium.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think it's hard. Okay. All right, we got that one. Anything else on that? I think we're pretty good. Yep, okay. Unless anyone has anything else. And now we have 1179. This was opened by Dan Connolly. He thinks that clock capability should be created with ambient auth, and he did open a RFC for this now.
Okay.
So I would say I would direct anybody to be pointed over to the RFC. The question I would have on this would be, I think we should close the issue until and have the discussion on the RFC. Is that reasonable?
I think so. I would say, I mean, close the issue positively, as in excellent, yeah. Good result. We have an RFC.
Yes. Locking this issue. Everyone who is interested in this, come up, please refer to the RFC and discuss there. Boom. Okay. And discussion. All right. And we have 1180, the file, the process monitor authority one. So yeah. 1180, every file path includes process monitor authority.
Oh, sorry, just a second here. 1180?
Yep. So I think the exact bit not being checked, that's definitely a bug. Shouldn't be trying to start a thing that doesn't have that set. Yes?
Yeah. I'll put it.
And
I'm gonna add another thing here. I think it may also be a bug that process monitor doesn't yet require some sub authority generated. Yeah. By,
I mean, just because you have access to, just because you can access the file system doesn't mean that you should be allowed to start arbitrary processes.
I'm going to write just exactly that.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so this is a bug, right, that is ready for work.
And is high priority.
Is high priority and should be, I think this is easy. What do you think?
Easy, yeah, definitely easy.
Easy. All right. Awesome. Boom. Awesome. Yes. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Sadly, Kevin's not here. Okay. All right. So next up for things, before we turn it over to general stuff, I thought it would be good to refer back to issue 1138. Theo tried to start taking this on, and he ran into a problem.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it would be better rather than I got ready to try and help him, then realized I had literally no time at that point. So I figured it was best to say, to send a follow-up email and be like, hey, let's talk about this at the snake meeting to make sure this doesn't fall through the cracks.
Okay, let's see here.
And I need to open up the code again to make sure I know what the hell I'm looking at. Gotcha. Yeah, so I have a directory, right, called PonyC that Pony C is in. God damn it, why is this ZSH crashing on me again? But I regularly forget to put the CD in front of it, so then I'm in a directory trying to change into it, and it tells me there's no pony files in there, because I just typed pony C. I should probably put it in a different directory.
Ah, so the reason that this particular bug is appearing is that a list of a hat is not that you have box capability to list a hat box. When you read from that, you're going to get a hat as seen by box. So box arrow a hat, and box arrow a hat is not the same type as a hat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's in order to, yeah, which is too bad because it would be interesting to be able to express that in a different way and say, oh, when you only have a box, you can create a list of box arrow A if you have a list A hat box, but you can't create a list of A.
Yeah.
I think another possibility is to create an interface. Okay. But then if you pass box in, that's not so...
No longer easy, huh?
This is why very often it's easier to do these things in the other direction. It's easier to clone something than it is to instantiate something, if that makes any sense. Because you'll see the clone actually solves this completely. It creates a list of this arrow A bang, which solves the problem completely. And can be called on a ref, a vowel, or a box, which is, but from, I can't think of a type system way. The only thing I can think of would be to say, is if we came up with a notation that allowed arbitrary variables and not just this in the so that if there were a syntax that allowed you to say that the type no, that doesn't help. We would need a constraint. Ah, a constraint, indeed. This might be solvable with a parametric method, a parametric constructor. So, if you imagine a constructor that said new from that was parameterized on a B, such that that's going to be problematic as well. Because what we still want to be able to do is a list of something ref.
I'll be right back.
Sure. A list of something, let's say a list of string ref. So we need a new way to do parameterization as well. This is rather tricky. And it brings up the whole question of methods that can be instantiated only under more complex type constraints. And I think that's what we need to do this. I think for now, it's the case that it is not possible, which I should have noticed earlier about the RFC. I think we ought to work on the RFC a little bit, unfortunately. And it's that new from can't accept an object box, because it's not necessarily true that everything in that all the fields of object as seen through box are still the same type as all the fields of object when not seen through box. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Similarly, clone can't return an object ISO because we can't guarantee that it's allowed to have pointers to the data in object and remain isolated. That's only true if all of the fields of object are thou or tag, so that both objects can have references to them. Thanks very, very, very much for bringing this up. On the other hand,
this might be related to another thought I was having about like wrapper classes. That, for example, let's say I have a class that I want to wrap a string with, and I want to be able to instantiate that basically instantiate a val. Let's say I have foo that wraps a string; it just holds the string internally. Right. Let's say I want to be able to instantiate a foo val from a string val, and I want to be able to instantiate a foo ref from a string ref. And I was thinking maybe Benoit's RFC about type parameter inference could help out a bit, in that you'd say the wrapper type takes a type parameter of something, of a read, a string read. Let's just say string read.
Sure.
Then it, based on that type parameter, that it could either be string val or string ref. And then when you instantiate with the constructor, it detects through inference whether you're giving it a string val or a string ref.
Yeah.
But then I'm not sure how you would set the capability of the constructor. I don't think would be.
Actually, it's fine, because under both circumstances, the constructor can return a ref. It can be a new ref. And then if you want a val from that, you can recover val.
Right. It's just not quite as convenient as it could be if the cap could specify, like, could you do like a arrow val, or sorry, a arrow ref for the constructor cap?
Oh, that's quite interesting. To make the constructor cap itself a more complex expression.
Right, because if the constructor were just a regular method that was returning an instance of something, you could use viewpoint adaptation there, but I don't think we have the syntax right now to use viewpoint adaptation in the constructor.
That's true. Another possibility would be to, I guess fully specifying a return type on a constructor, but then requiring that it's a subtype of. Requiring that it is actually the type that's being constructed is a bit awkward. Whereas having something and a more complex expression in the constructor cap would be more straightforward, I think.
But yeah, so I guess the question is this a related problem?
So yes, I think it is related, but not the same. So for example, for clone to return something isolated, it depends on the fields of object, whether that's possible or not. And that's a bit complex. I think it's probably easier to have separate methods, clone and isolate, where some objects it's not possible to isolate it because it doesn't have, or rather, for some objects, if you can isolate it, you might have to clone or isolate its fields internally.
Right.
From is especially tricky because almost it won't be common for all of the fields of a class to have the same type as the box adapted fields of the class. And so I think that probably from is going to on average require a ref for that, if that makes any sense.
Well, what I was talking about with a type parameter that is constrained by the read.
Interesting. I see. Yes.
That's why I was talking about it being a related problem.
Oh, very interesting. Okay. Nice. Oh, Joe. So if we had the idea that that we knew a capability for the final returned object and that while we were able to write to its fields, we were also only going to read from its fields as if the object were the final returned type. The final returned reference capability, then that would indeed work. It would be that we could only return a new box when doing from object box, but that's fine because that could be parametric and allow object ref, object val, object box, any readable object. Yes, that becomes the other parts are related, but that is exactly the same. That's extremely interesting. I particularly like the idea of paying attention to the returned reference capability when dealing with the fields of this in a constructor.
So the takeaway then is that the from constructor needs type parameters on the method, and they can be inferred using the other RFC for type parameter inference.
Yeah, and also that we should be paying attention to the ref cap, the constructor ref cap, as it applies to the object during construction.
Right,
and that way ISO and trin constructors and val constructors don't require all arguments to be sendable. It loosens that requirement because we'll write into the object things that we can write in, read out in the appropriate way. And if you pass in stuff that isn't sendable, that's okay. We're not going to do anything broken with it because safe to write will determine whether or not we can use those things. So you might pass in something that's box, but you're only going to use val elements out of it. So that's fun.
So what you're talking about this part is, it would be a compiler change, or I don't follow what that entails.
That's definitely a compiler and even a type system change.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is quite good. So, Joe, could you do me a favor?
Okay.
Could you make comments on 11:38 about what we've been chatting about?
I will comment as much as I understand, and you can fill in the rest.
That's awesome. That's a huge help. Mostly because it's not like time. It's not so much time saving as idea improving. I feel like if you put things down, it will improve the ideas.
Awesome. Does anybody have anything they want to discuss?
Yes.
Going on? Who said yes?
It's Benoit.
Hey, go take it away.
Okay, so basically, I think in the runtime, in the MPMC, in the MPMC queue, the compare and swap in POP is I think is wrong on ARM. Because, so
excellent.
Yeah. Have you looked at IRC lately, Sylvan?
No, I'm sorry.
You could get a bit of background on it, where Benoit has been working with Paul on tracking down his issue. Remember issue 1000, where it looked like the scheduler was getting stomped on?
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes. So.
Yeah, it's that issue, I think.
Okay. Oh, brilliant.
And I link you the disassembly that to not. Put on IRC.
Okay.
So it's around line 40-45, and it's an LDRXD instruction. Yep. And I'm not an ARM expert, but from what I could read in the documentation, this instruction is doing a 64 bits load.
Okay, good.
And here we're supposed to do a 128 bits load.
Ah, is this on a 64 bit ARM? Because on a 32 bit ARM, it should be a 64 bit. Because it's a double word, so it just needs to account for pointer size plus something else that's pointer sized in order to do the ABA counter. So on a 64-bit ARM, it should be 128 bits, but on a 32-bit ARM, you'll need a 64-bit load.
So Paul has a 64. He's got the 64-bit, but it was being quote unquote run in 32-bit mode. But
that does occur.
Yes, but I given that Benoit did up a little fix for this, and Paul, it seems like, hasn't had any problems since he tried that.
Oh, brilliant.
Right. Like, okay. I think he wanted to test it more. Am I correct on that, Benoit?
The fix is not a real fix. It's just a big mutex around everything.
Okay.
But it works. So, right. So I think there's something wrong in the atomics.
Okay. Excellent. That's awesome. I mean, not that there's a problem, but that you found where the problem is. That's brilliant. Okay. So what I'm wondering about is if we're generating, again, I am also very much not an ARM expert. But when doing a CAS on an ARM, it doesn't do CAS, right? It does LDrex and StoreX, right? And I don't see X versions. Oh no, there's a. It is. Never mind. 1145. Loader XD, Store XD. With a break to 200 when it doesn't. Ah, I wish I knew ARM assembly better. But you're clearly right. If you pop a mutex around it and it works, then the operation is subtly wrong. There's no question. Nice catch. Benoit, can you try and get Luke Cheeseman to help you look at this? Maybe if I think he's on the mailing list, or if you can catch him another way. He's the guy who did value-dependent types for Pony. He works at ARM. In fact, he worked it there previously and then finished his master's and now is back working there on their compiler team. So he is, in fact, an ARM assembly expert and maybe able to help you look at this. Or if you can figure out how to fix on your own, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll try to reach him.
Okay, great.
That's pretty handy.
It's pretty handy, yeah.
Certainly doesn't hurt. Cool. Anybody got anything else? All right, then I have one thing. This is a discussion that started on the dev mailing list for now that we have some stuff where we can do releases on a more regular basis. What should we target? I was thinking 1 month. Joe suggested every 2 weeks. There's been a little bit of conversation around that. Thought it'd be good to try and come up with a decision today. And we try something out for size and see whether it's too short, too long, whatever.
I also suggested there's another alternative that I think would work well. We could do 1 month, but then also if somebody had a reasonable request for, you know, I really, really need you to release this now that you fixed this bug, you know, before the regular timeline, that we could just, you know, be able to make releases like that outside of the normal timeline, but the 1 month would be kind of a minimum.
Oh, I missed that. How did I miss that? I like that idea.
That sounds really good. I was going to say I'm actually okay with trying for 2 week releases, but because I liked the argument that it makes it easier for people who don't want to try and track master. And that seems like a wise argument. But I also like this one.
All right. So do we want to try the 1 month with people can request for others as needed, or if we have, or even just ourselves, if we have one where we're like, ooh, that's a really big bug, we should go ahead and do a release for that now.
For example, if this ARM NPMCQ bug got fixed, for example?
Yes, for example, that one.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, I like the idea of 1 month as a minimum, and then we can just, you know, I just wouldn't want to treat it as a maximum.
Wait, 1 month would be the max, right?
It depends on how you want to look at it. We would at least release once a month, if not more often.
Right.
With the more often just being on demand.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Cool. All right. I don't have anything else. Anybody else have anything? Cool. All right. Thank you, everyone. And see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.